Sometimes severe head injuries can leave a patient in what is dubbed a persistent vegetative state. But recently, using a brain scanning technique called fMRI, scientists have been able to show that some of these people are actually conscious and they're capable of communicating with the scientists. They're just not able to move. Now, Davinia Fernandez-Espejo has uncovered why this happens. There's a disconnect, she says, in the brain, which prevents the thalamus, a relay station in the centre of the nervous system, and the motor cortex, the area of the brain that produces movements, from exchanging information. Greer Jackson caught up with her to hear why this happens.
So in this paper, we were looking for structural damage in the brain of patients who appear to be in a vegetative state. This is, they don't show any signs, any external signs of being aware of themselves, of the environment. But we do know that some of these patients are actually fully conscious. This is a small percentage of them, and they're just incapable to move. So the first step for this study was to try and identify awareness using these fMRI techniques, asking them to imagine they were playing tennis, imagine they were moving their hands. And once we had a patient who we could confirm they were actually aware, then we did the second part of the study.
And then my understanding is you also looked at healthy people and mapped what bits of their brain lit up as well.
That's right. So up until now, we were not entirely sure what the differences are between just imagining a movement or actually physically performing that movement. And that was key in this study, because this is the difference between the things that they can or can't do, these patients. So they can imagine a movement, but they can't actually perform that movement. So we needed to see the difference between these two processes to know what were the areas that are key for you to give these step further and actually move. And we found that there's a very significant pathway, which is the one connecting the thalamus, which is a small region kind of in the deep of your brain, and the motor cortex, which is the region that ultimately is going to send the signal to your limbs to move. So in a way, these two regions appear to be disconnected, so the information can travel from one to another, and that's what was stopping these patients from being able to actually externally move.
That surprises me, because you would have thought patient to patient the sort of structural damage in the brain would be very different, but you think it's down to this one sort of connection.
Well, that's a good question. So in this study, we focused on patients with a very specific type of damage, which is traumatic brain injury from a car accident. What we don't know yet is whether this specific damage is going to appear also in patients of different etiologies, and that would be the next logic step to this study.
What happens in these patients that means that there is that disconnect in the brain?
So basically, when we're talking about a car accident, there's speed and a sudden deceleration. And what happens is that the fibers that connect different regions of your brain break in the process. So that ends up leaving regions that can't speak to each other again.
And how often, how common is this type of injury?
It is very common, and they're quite recent. So we only see these patients in the last few years. And this is because we're talking about very severe accidents that before all the advances in the medical care wouldn't have survived the accident.
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, I suppose great to show that we've had so much progression in this, but equally now we've got a whole new other set of caseloads of difficult things to solve.
That's right. We're getting really good at solving problems in our organs and our body, but the brain is still something we're still kind of trying to understand.
Does that mean then, now that you've identified this blockage, that you can do something about it? Might there be a treatment down the line that could help these patients?
Yeah, and that's the most exciting thing about this finding. We're still very early in that direction, but I think it's a good first step. So we can't regrow those fibers that are gone. That can't happen. But we can do something to make those connections that are still present to work harder to try to compensate for the damage. And there's several ways we can do these. We're still studying what's the best approach. But anything that you can think that could make those fibers that are still there work harder and make these two regions talk to each other could help these patients in the future.
How might you be able to make these connections work harder?
So there's several possibilities. One possibility could be a pharmacological treatment. And there's also a number of brain stimulation techniques that can help give these regions like a little push to try and work a little bit harder.
So how far away do you think are we from this type of thing? I know you said this is sort of a good first step, but how long are we looking at here?
Yeah, that's difficult to tell. We're starting to try some of these ideas about how to stimulate some of these regions now. So we're still a few years away from knowing the answer to these.
Birmingham University's Davinia Fernandez Espejo. And she published that work this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Neurology. You're listening to The Naked Scientists. I'm Chris Smith. Still to come, having explored in previous programmes the nuts and bolts of sending mankind to Mars, this week we're going to be debating whether we actually should do that at all. But first,